Good evening. It's Tuesday night, March 15th.
16th. 15th is last night. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, Lord, we ask for your blessing on our meeting tonight, Lord. That your spirit would flow, your truth would flow, O Lord. That we would have, that our spirit would receive what you have for us. Do that good work by your spirit.
Amen. Amen and amen.
Well, I don't know that we should say that Jesus needed any incentive. He knew what he was going to do. He was going to do what God's will was, for sure. But at the same time, the last two chapters of Hebrews have been sticking out like some kind of a warning sign. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Okay, there's a verse, the statement that is being. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So what we have all depends on what he did and who he is and who he was. Who for the joy that was set before him. Do we need incentive? You know what? I think we do. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and builder was God. Did he ever find it? I don't think he ever found it on this earth. But at the same time, is that not what God wants us to do? Yeah. Have a vision of something that's beyond our reach, but we're going to get it. We're going to gain that city one day. And so, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. I have not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the thing that God has prepared for them that love him. Is that incentive?
Well, it better be.
Yeah, that's incentive for me. But you know what? You got to believe it before it's incentive. Now that dumb what is it, Corky? It's on.
They were having trouble. The whole system went out just for service or meeting.
Is that what was going on?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I lost my Roku network.
Yeah, the internet went down. I mean, they had a hard problem.
Mm-hmm.
Something went out and they had to.
Must be back on now, though.
I think so.
I noticed when I got here, I got my weather right away and I couldn't even get that before, so. Okay.
The sight was so terrible on the mountain that Moses himself, who I thought was part of the thing, he said, I exceedingly fear and quake. That's how he approached the thing. And the people were so disturbed. That's not even a good way to put it, but so affected by what they saw that they said, don't let us ever have anything like this ever happen again. We don't want to see him. We don't want to have the mom shake and tremble. But it says, at one time he shook the earth, but the next time he's not only going to shake the earth, he's going to shake the heavens as well. So, I don't know, I haven't been able to get away from either chapter. It says, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Should that be incentive or not?
Yes.
Do you follow? Do you realize what I'm saying? I'm thinking that we have a whole church without incentive. They're not looking for anything other than what they got, you know, for what we have. And somehow that's not what I'm looking for. I'm not satisfied with what we have here. And in a way, you know, people want a resurgence. I mean, that's the right word, but
revival.
Yeah, of what we once had. And I say, no, I don't want what we once had. I want us to get a long way past that.
Amen.
The 12th and the 15th chapter of Hebrews is scary. There's somebody working out there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Or am I hearing things?
No, they're working.
Must be Kevin.
And there's a lot of things that are in these chapters that I have quoted or looked at or thought about, and they're all in the, within these two chapters. Oh, the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. You know, we've quoted that, but this is found in these two chapters. And if you don't receive chastening, then he considers us bastards. It's like, Lord, I don't want it, but please, whatever I need, let me have it. So lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. And make straight paths for our feet. Anyway.
You know, it's interesting how, like, those two chapters are really hitting you now. And it's like the other week I had somewhere else, and I thought, oh, man, this is like I should be really focusing on this, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you get hit with different parts of the scriptures that just affect you when he wants to affect you, you know. And they minister, and then he'll take you on to something else.
And it's a strange thing, but, you know, tying all the scriptures together, and the scripture right here, it says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaks better things than that of Abel. And that's way back in the beginning.
Yeah.
And God heard the, he heard the blood of Abel. And what was it he heard? How did they say that?
Yeah. Crying out from the grave somehow, or
from the ground, was it? Crying out from the ground.
What about the blood of the billions of babies unborn? And if you refuse, if they escape not. We refuse him with weak on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. That's verse 25.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I don't know. Both chapters are. It's like, have they been there all this time?
Well, that business here, there, in Hebrews 12, 26, and it's,
yeah.
Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of those things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken will remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably and with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Yeah.
And that doesn't really make a lot of sense unless we let it, you know. It's so easy to be a churchgoer, but it's very difficult to be a Christian.
Well, I look forward and don't look forward to that shaking.
Yeah. But is there a scripture that says the stars are going to fall from heaven?
What's that?
Is there a scripture that tells us that the stars are going to fall from heaven?
Yeah.
Where's that at?
What's the scripture?
When the stars fall from heaven and...
Oh.
shoot, I don't know if it's...
I think it's in the Gospels.
Is it the one in Matthew where Jesus...
Mark, Revelation. Mark 13:25.
Okay.
The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly will be shaken. There's also Isaiah 34:4. All the stars in the sky will be dissolved.
But those are new planets, I can't say new planets, are they?
Stars?
Yeah.
Stars are other suns.
So, Isaiah 34, was that?
34:4.
That's interesting that it's being said way back there, you know?
Yeah, it's slightly different, but all the stars in the sky will be dissolved.
Okay.
And it says a starry host will fall.
It's kind of scary, isn't it?
Yeah, that one kind of talks about just general destruction of everything.
Yeah, you just saw the one in the heavens shall be rolled up like a scroll.
Yeah.
Is that in Peter or which one?
I was Mark. The first one I read was Mark. Mark 13:25. Keith.
When it says be rolled up like a scroll, is that? Is that Peter?
That's in Isaiah.
Isaiah?
Yeah, that's the next verse that I don't...
But I think it says it in the New Testament, too.
I think in Peter.
Somewhere in Peter. I think it's the second chapter. Sure.
The heavens will roll up.
You know, it's interesting now. He's saying it to the people back there in Isaiah. But obviously it didn't happen. You know, or be in history. It's warning him at that time, but it's actually
might be prophetic for something.
It's warning everyone after that, too. You know.
Second Peter 3:10, the heavens will disappear with a roar.
It says that the world that then was is verse 6 in Second Peter 3. Being overflowed with water perished. The world referring to people. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved under the fire of this day of judgment, and perdition of ungodly men.
What was the one? What did you say in Mark 9?
Mark 13, 25. You hit an end gospel.
From what I heard.
And I moved on to a different scripture, so I think
that's
okay.
In center. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye be in holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. It says with a great noise. And my thing is, who's going to hear it? Us people that are alive, or is this one of those things like if a tree falls in the out in the forest and there's nobody around, is there a noise? Is that the way that goes?
Something like that, yeah.
Or what was the other statement? If a man never gets married, it's not good for
you. You know, in Mark 13:23, he's saying, and he goes, but take heed, see, I have told you all things beforehand. So if you can hear, you know.
Well, there's hearing and then there's understanding too, right? So it's...
Yeah.
It's, I always give myself a little pass when I read that section in Scripture where Jesus told the apostles of the things that have come, and then after the crucifixion, they go, oh, that's what he meant when he said this. And I said, well, if he could say it right to the apostles and they didn't get it, what chance do I have without the Holy Spirit, right? So, which I fully admit is a dodge, but I'm just saying.
But the day of the Lord will come.
I don't know.
As a thief in the night. Heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up.
Now, I've had it pop into my head where I thought, yeah, that's about what an atomic war would do. You know, you had two, if you had countries sending atomic bombs at each other, boy. I mean, there's heat, big time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but it may not be that either.
You know what I find scary about that setting is?
Huh?
You know what I find a little bit scary about that setting? That the heavens will roll up. Notice that's the place that we want to be. But it doesn't say anything about anything bad happening to hell. Hell's going to remain through all of this. But the place that you want to go, the city of gold, that's going to roll up. You go, now wait a minute, that doesn't quite seem right.
More than one heaven.
Might be a reference to the second heaven.
Must be more than one heaven there.
Yeah, right. There's a the sky.
Well, Paul was in the third heaven, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how he referred anyway. But
well, we're guilty of her. I am generalizing as the sky is heaven.
Yeah, I know.
But
and that is weird when you stop and think.
Well, but they say can't.
If you go straight up, you can go forever.
Yeah. Well, they always refer. I mean, they always add up and down. Can't the
cast
down?
I guess that's just
Jesus ascended up.
Somehow we can relate. I guess, you know.
I'm sure it's a natural thing. Are you struggling to find incentive these days, Keith, or is that just got your attention?
No. The whole thought pattern of these two chapters has been real, you know.
Dwelling on
them. Yeah.
And I was, when you first brought it up, I was thinking of incentive in a different way. You know, I thought, in a way, the miracles that Jesus performed was incentive to get them to get with the plan and start having some faith. And you're kind of bringing it in a different way, which is good.
I don't know that the incentive helps, but I don't think it hurts.
Not a lot of downside, right?
Yeah.
Looking
unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who was the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. You know, in the book of Galatians, it says that everybody that hangs on a tree is cursed. And so it says that he became a curse for us. And I don't know exactly how that works. Became a curse for us? Or does curse mean something else?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like we're all should be cursed for the sin we do, you know, and hang on a tree. But he did it for us.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what the curse is, but it could be death, it could be damnation, it could be I picked up when we were reading through that one spot right before the one I read about. See, and I told you all this beforehand, but Rick, it's, you know, the false prophets will do signs and wonders to deceive, you know. Now, I don't know if that's been going on a lot lately, much of that stuff, or not, because I don't go searching, you know, if there's big rallies where there's supposed to be miracles going on and everything. But evidently, it will become apparent sooner or later.
Mm-hmm. Well, that scripture setting in 1 John 4, where it says, "Beloved, don't believe every spirit, but try the spirits to see what they're from God." And then it makes a statement, for many false prophets will come and win, and something like that. We call it angel of the world, or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let
me see that in my
head. Well, I would think you'd have to be pretty strong in your faith to go strong around trying spirits. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That would be quite a challenge, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I would think so.
To
what? It would be for me.
Try the spirits?
Yeah.
Well, but that's where we want to get to. Because otherwise we'll get duped. You know?
Yeah.
Maybe not try and sort of test them or battle them like, you know, the archangel. But doesn't Scripture say that we, you know, every spirit that doesn't confess that Jesus is flesh? And that's what I was thinking when it says try it.
Mm. Check them out or something.
Because what the Scripture isn't saying is, it isn't saying that false spirits can't have miraculous like powers. And to me, it's like, you know, if the devil's got authority here on earth, then things are going to happen. They're going to seem very godlike. But if he's not declaring Jesus as a man, then it's a false prophet.
Well, it's interesting too, because, well, if you go back to 21 in Mark, it's, then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or look, he is there, do not believe it. For false Christ.
Right.
Now, how can, you know, so, I don't, that's weird. You know, I could see one guy trying to say he's the Christ, but to have false Christ, does that just mean false anointed ones? You know? I don't know if that's put in there.
I wonder if it's saying that there will be a string of people claiming they're Christ when they're not.
Yeah, which would be weird, because anybody that's a even remotely Christian should not fall for that.
Didn't see him come down on a cloud kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, you would think there'd be a way. Huh.
It's funny that it uses Christ.
I don't know, but to me, the human race is pretty gullible.
Well, I certainly agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, now people that have never been saved could get caught maybe in that. I don't, you know, but
maybe. But then something remarkable happens before your eyes. You forget what you know.
Yeah, you get the shiny trinket seems to win, right? Yeah.
That's why I said you better be strong in your faith when you start testing.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, we have to be careful. We have to be strong, whatever.
That's all you can do is pray about where you get into that position.
Yeah, I think they say the path is narrow.
It's
not a lot of curves, but it's very narrow.
I mean, and he is implying that you should be able to see him.
Yeah.
If you're following what he's, him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Hey.
Can I snag that broom from you quick?
Where is it, Tom?
Broom.
How you doing?
Not too bad. Good. So we got everything textured down there except for the room that they're going to be in.
Okay.
So we got to do that still, but otherwise everything's kind of wrapped back up and put back together down there.
You find a broom check?
Yeah, it really looks amazing down there.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, look out the other room then. You guys had it somewhere. Look right out here.
Oh no. Yeah, we'll have to be back here. I'll send Chris back probably Thursday morning, and he'll finish texturing that out and scraping it down. It's still pretty damp down there, so you know the texture there. So once that all dries, then we're good to scrape it down, and
then they can go ahead and paint?
I don't know.
Do you want me to go look?
Should I check?
Yeah, go ahead.
It could be the bathroom, it could be in a few seconds he forgets what he's looking for.
I think he's got it.
Did you find it?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
I'll see if Chuck remembers. Oh, he didn't remember to come back.
Came back for a while. Well, I'll admit that's kind of my biggest fear in my walk is, you know, trying with all my heart to be in tune and not deceived. And I think,
you know,
you have to be really on your game not to be deceived.
You know, Corky, I think you kept quoting a scripture a long time ago. And I think that scripture has really had an indelible impact on me. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Oh, yeah.
And Moses said, "I exceedingly fear and quake." You know, when he saw the lightning flashes and the mountain was on fire, and the thing that scared the Jews, scared the daylights out of them. And anyway, I think we have to live. We live in a place of joy and contentment and whatever else, but we also live in fear. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We have to be living in that state. Which means what? It means that we never stop asking God for help. Never stop.
And I've heard probably everybody here numerous times knowing that's where they're at, because, and myself included, you know, you can be on fire and gung-ho and receiving truth, but then you can also know your own shortcomings, and it puts fear in you, you know, in a sense that, and not, you know, not an it's a godly fear, you know.
You have to know that you can miss it.
Yeah, yeah.
And
a powerful pull to go with the crowd.
Yeah, that keeps you in line. You know what I mean? It keeps you, I don't want to say on the edge, but it does something to you.
Prevents you from being complacent.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way I look at it. You know, I used to quote that scripture for an entirely different reason, but it works for what you said. I quoted that scripture because it was getting me to break the chains of submission and not being responsible for knowing the word myself, instead of listening to the leaders or the pastor or whatever. I mean, the scriptures say I'm accountable, and that's not something you hear in most church structures. You know, you go to a church because he knows the scriptures, so I don't have to. I just have to do what he tells me to do.
Well, I think that's why it gets brought up here so often, because we realize we're accountable.
Yeah.
You know, and you realize some days you don't feel like you're accountable. You know?
Some days I wish I wasn't.
Well, there are days we know we're failing pretty bad. Yeah.
And the truth is, we're always accountable.
Amen.
Yeah.
And as Charlie says, there used to be a trick in the world where they would ask you to evaluate yourself. Instead of having your boss evaluate you, they say you're going to evaluate yourself. And only the most arrogant of the people would say, "Well, I'm amazing," you know. And that person would kind of get weeded out pretty quick. But no, you know in your heart whether you gave 100% on something, or it looked like 100%, but it was more like 70. And so, you know, it's kind of pitting yourself against yourself, which is what happens when you say, you know, you have to look inward as to where's my walk and how am I doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I want to be really cautious, really careful. Don't tell me how good I'm doing.
Don't
tell me.
You're right.
Let the Lord tell me.
Yeah, well, yeah, it doesn't matter what other people say. There's only one that really counts. Yeah, my faith has been shaken to the core by some of the missions of the brothers here.
It's just that machine.
But notice there are no names.
A mighty wind.
A mighty wind.
Not a tornado.
Mighty wind. I just picked up some of that dust and purified it.
So yeah.
Probably all of us.
It's a strange sensation, Ken, to know that when you're sleeping, there's somebody else sleeping listening to you. It's not just working. It could be Eli.
Yeah.
Only a 10-watt could be. Eli, I think, spends too much of his dreams fishing.
Is he a sleep talker? A sleep talker like you?
No. I wake up at 7 o'clock or whatever, and he's far from me awake. I'm usually, I got Chuck ready and got me ready, and he's still sleeping.
Well, his clock's probably a little different, because I know very seldom does Pablo go real early to work anymore. Kind of plans that where he can go about 9, 10 or whatever and get in the 4 or 5 hours of work he needs to get to a certain place.
Pablo manages his time real well to make sure that if he needs to be done at noon for some extracurricular activity, it works out. But
Eli's truck was falling apart.
Yeah, he said he's having more I heard that too.
Yeah, so he had a toward out to Brad's, and he says, well, nothing serious, it's a rock and a hubcap.
That's what.
But the way it's on the ground is the tuber and it's coming apart. Poor guy. Poor sweetheart.
That almost has to be someone pranking him. He's supposed to get a rock in the hubcap.
No, he was just kidding about that. Making it sound like it was major and it was not necessarily that major. I think that's what you were saying, right? By saying, he kiddingly said, yeah, it was a rock in the hubcap.
Who knows? I don't know.
Well, I will tell you, along that line, the other day I was driving my car, and we just went through a puddle, and there was some ice, and as I did that, there was some noise coming, and I thought, you know, that ice should be off the tire, you know, I don't, so I got out, and I could hear it even when it went slow, rolled by just enough, so the tire was up, so I'm looking. Big rock stuck in the tire groove, and as it went around, it was.
Yeah, I had that happen too. Where what the heck?
I laughed at that, and I said that, and I plucked it off. And not too often.
I heard that one time leaving here, and I had a great big bolt in the tire.
Oh, well, yeah, I recall that.
I like Jeff. I still like Jeff. No matter what, I still like that. But I tell you what, he gave me every reason not to as a kid. We travel cross country, and we couldn't never have a car with air conditioning. and he had his hand up the out the window, up on the roof. Come, come. The faster I go, the faster we go. The slower I went, they would slow way down. I did do the transmission was having a problem. I was positive of it. Huh. It took me a long time to find it. I said, Jeff, get your hand back in the car.
Natural born mischief maker, that one.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's Jeff. I tell you now, Jeff, we're hunting, so don't break every stick with your foot. So he wouldn't. He'd break about every third brush. But he had to be a good hunter. Got one of the afternoon Corky today about the blacktails. The blacktail deer out in the West Coast. And but not very big. I shot one of those. It was maybe 6 points, but it was a 100-pound deer. But Jeff has a black-tailed rack that's huge. I don't know where he ever found that one.
So we've digressed here a little bit.
No. Something's bigger than that.
No. Actually, it's the air purifier behind
me. Is that behind me?
Yeah. It's the air purifier right there.
It's coming up the steps.
Yeah, because of the way you're shielded from it. I was actually going to ask Glenn if there was an update from your neighbors from what you mentioned on Sunday. That was encouraging.
I was going to go talk to her today. But then it's spring break, I guess, so she was around one of the kids some places. So.
It is spring break.
Yeah. I saw the kids yesterday out there, and I thought, well, one of them anyway. She get in trouble now, and she's got suspended from school again or something. Not again, but, you know, I even know she was at one point, but, you know, but then I found out today, because they were outside, and I
heard that, too. I didn't realize it.
Well, when I asked them, I said, how come you made it home? It's spring break. Or is it winter break? Well, I don't know what they're calling it now, they said.
Well, I was wondering Monday with the snow that we had, even though it was late, if they were going to get, like, today off, because they had so few snow days this year. They have them, and they, you know, like, yeah, take a weather day. But then it fell during the normally off, so.
Yeah, like you didn't have any days off this school year anyway.
I
gotta go talk to her again. I don't know if I said this Sunday or not. I know Josh, her husband, mentioned that about church the other day. I was gonna go talk to him because he drives a lumber truck for mills and stuff, so he's up early in the morning and he gets home late at night, so. The only time I get a chance to talk to him is on weekends, but that's the only time he's got to run with his family, too, so he was gone weekends last weekend, too, so I didn't get a chance to talk to him either. But I will. I don't know if they come, I don't know what the kids are going to be like. It can be wild. But.
Well, I would say if there was ever a church that could handle that, this would be this one.
Yep.
It's kind of like you had to have wild kids or you couldn't get in. Your kids aren't wild enough. You're sorry.
But yeah.
Well, it was just.
I was curious too, but.
I was uplifted because that was actually a positive thing. And I would have had a lot of positive things going on in my life, so that was.
good to hear a positive thing of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. I'm taking it slow because I don't want to push it. And I know what it was like when I was in that position. Don't push me with this because you're just going to push me away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, I've been there. I know what it's all about, what it's like. I think most of us have that one time, you know. And some people are more pushier than others. And I don't want to mention any names, but. Anyway, I gotta get off that subject. But I'll give you a follow up.
Pray that God has his hand in it.
Yeah. The fact that he mentioned it, you know, kind of shocked me when I told my wife about that. She was kind of cool. You know. Anyway. Say what he's like because I was like that too. You know, does not DC be judged likewise.
The scriptures are a funny conglomeration of subjects. It says about Abraham that in Hebrews 8 or 11 that he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child which he had past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. When the angel told Abraham that Sarah was going to have a child, she laughed. But she didn't believe it. Did she, Charlie?
That was a little hard to work those two together, isn't it?
Yeah, and here it says that she, by faith, she received enough strength to conceive. She was past age. And the thing, the strange thing about Abraham, he had a child by Hagar, the Egyptian, and named him Ishmael. But after Sarah died, and here Abraham is, he's old. He's an old man. After Sarah died, he married another woman and had six more kids. But you never hear that in the scripture, you never hear that in church. But that's what it says in Genesis. But it says, dwelling in Abraham by faith, sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. Or Jacob was the son of Isaac.
Maybe Jacob was in the loins.
Well, that's what it means, but it doesn't say that, you know. It suggests that they were alive, but they weren't alive yet. Isaac was the son of Abraham and Sarah. But he looked for a city. You know what? I think we're starting to do.
Mm-hmm.
This world is not my home. I'm just passing through.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to sing that song. And I know all of the another kind of many incentive, money incentives. What's the word for it?
Bribes?
No.
Talking about the relief checks?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the name for it?
Well,
stimulus check.
Stimulus check or.
Bogus?
Well, they don't say it like that. But
no, I call it stimulus.
Stimulus check
that's
or.
The word. I couldn't think of stimulus.
Stimulus
yeah.
or relief funding?
You don't.
The bribe.
Yeah, bribe.
Yeah. People are accountants on those, and I just heard somebody today make a statement about it. I thought, you know, there'll come a day when that's not even a possibility. So you better enjoy it while you can, while you got it.
Actually, you know what? I think it's Abraham who laughed.
Abraham who what?
Laughed.
Oh, I think it's Sarah.
Well, so did Abraham.
Well, okay.
Did Abraham laugh too?
Yeah, he says, and I will bless her and also give you a son for her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And so Sarah, who was 9 years old, bear a child?
I think Sarah laughed too.
Well, I haven't got farther down to see.
Yeah, she, the angel accused her of laughing, and she said, I didn't laugh.
Yeah.
And the angel said, you laughed.
Yeah, so full of me.
Right.
But she was younger than Abraham. You know that she was a half-sister? Yeah.
It's weird. When the heck does the angel talk to Sarah?
And along the same line where you're wherever you're at there.
Well, it ain't right away. First he gets circumcised and everything.
And then it was Isaac went to law. And got a.
Oh, yeah, here it is. It's given in another account. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child, since I am old? Anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, yeah. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid.
Yeah, you can't hide anything from God.
Well, they were both laughing.
Yeah.
It's a good book coming out. Susan wants.
But, you know, it's one thing that she can't have. But he is Abraham, he's 100.
Yeah.
He gets married again and has 6 more.
Yeah.
Well, you know, once you pull on God's cape,
yeah,
that's
once
right.
you kind of pull on God's cape, he's gonna,
yeah,
he's gonna show you.
Where are you reading about Abraham?
Genesis.
In what part? Where at?
I don't know. I left it now. It's pretty. Let's see. Where was it? It was. Oh, 17.17 into 18 for Sarah. It's pretty cool, yeah, in the first part, I think it's 17, where God's telling, he really had a, I mean, he really, he had a, he liked Abram.
Yeah.
If you're looking for where Abraham married his other wife, it's beginning in Genesis chapter 25, verse 1.
About Abraham
took him
another wife called Keturah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She bore him Zimran and Cochran and Medan and Midian and Isbak and Shua. And
all my common names.
Right.
In 17, God's talking to Abram, and he says, "And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations." Kingship comes in. Yeah, he was really blessed. Where our lineage actually comes from, as far as spiritual.
Abraham lived until he was 175. He lived until he was 103, 12, and 15. He died in a good old age. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him. His sons by Keturah, he sent them all the way to the east somewhere, it says. And Israel and God become each other of yours. I can't fathom that.
Can't fathom 900 years.
No. Come on. I see why God said, what would you call this? 70
70.
I thought he was 80.
Huh?
I thought he was 80 when he began his ministry.
No.
He's talking about God promised man would live, right?
God said, in a man's years shall be 70.
Oh.
And if I read a good whatever, good health, something you live beyond.
80 by reason of strength or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're beating the norm.
So what?
I think we're beating the norm.
Well, you are so far. Glenn, how old are you again?
Huh?
How old are you?
Well, let's say I completed 80 years.
80?
Yeah, I'm working on my 81st.
Yeah. Okay.
Psalms 90:10.
What?
The length of our days is 70 years, and if men should be in strength, Our days may come in 70 years or 80. I think that's what you were referring to. Psalms 90, verse 10.
Yeah, I think it's somewhere else, like he said it, told us. 3, 4, and 10. I don't know where that would be.
Of course, I know where the Constitution.
Are you going to be able to drive me okay after that?
Huh?
Are you going to be able to drive me okay?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Should we call it a wrap for today?
Yeah, we could start it an hour earlier. I thought it would help.
Well, it's
going
to be all right.
It'd be hard for me to start an hour earlier.
No, it'd be fine.
It'll only get better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love you all.